Friday night. The sun has gone down and the darkness is about to creep in. Say a prayer and hold on tight. You're listening to Signs of the Dead, Paranormal Radio, on the People's Paranormal Radio Network.
No, it's way too late to hang up, children, because you're stuck with me. I am so glad to be back. All kinds of horrible things happening. And now, look at this. We are broadcasting again. I don't know how, but by the grace of God, it is working. Oh, it is such a huge, huge relief. Such a great weight has been lifted off of my shoulders. I am so glad to be back on the air. What was it now? 3-4 weeks, and I wasn't around, and now I am back, guys. I am back. Thank you guys for not watching Ghost Adventures tonight and for actually being here. If you're in the chat right now, you see, if you look at my name where it says Stephen Despain, you'll notice that I am showing as offline. I am there. The chat has given me the name either Honeyface or Wuggyface. I don't know which one I am right now. I'm not even going to touch it. Something happened. I was cleaning up on my PC, getting rid of my temporary files because they were really slowing my computer down because it builds up pretty quickly. And doggone it, if the program I was using, I think it was AVG, didn't actually basically write me out of the chat, and now I can't seem to log back in. So, I mean, I am there if you have a question, but don't send a message to the Stephen Despain one because I can't reply to it because it looks like I'm offline. Send either a message to Honeyface or Wuggyface, and or just type something in the chat box, and you know, hopefully I'll see it. Oh God, I'm tickled pink to actually be here tonight. I'm so glad this is finally working again. My guest tonight, guys, Mr. Rob Guttrow, I believe that's how you say his last name. He is a blogger. He is a paranormal investigator. Check this out. This guy is a meteorologist of all things. And I remember talking about my thoughts on meteorology in the past and making a comparison to paranormal research and meteorology. Those of you that missed that episode, I can't remember. It was like almost 2 years ago, but you know, look for that podcast, listen to it. There was a really long spiel I gave about it. But I'm hoping to get him on the horn in just a few minutes. Gosh, I can't tell you how great it is to be here. It really is. There were, like I said, a huge, huge bunch of problems. A couple of weeks ago, I had a guest scheduled. I can't remember her name off the top of my head. It's just been hectic the last few weeks, but she did not show up. I don't know where she was that night. There might have been a miscommunication on my end. It does happen sometimes, but I just want to say, those of you listening, that if you had sent me any sort of request to be on the show, please do me a favor. If I book you and it's the day before the show or even a couple days before the show, I will send you a reminder. Please, if you can't make it, just say I can't make it. That's all you got to do. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to get ticked off. I'm not going to send you any sort of, you know, hey, how dare you not be on my show kind of stuff. But please just let me know if you can't be on the show, because otherwise we end up with dead air or I have to play a repeat, and I really, really hate having to do that. So please, pretty please, guys, don't do that to me. You know what else? Don't do it to the listening audience. Guys, I'm going to play a song real quick, and then we're going to see if we can get Rob on the horn here. Sit tight, guys. Oh, and if you go away, you're going to make me cry, okay?
Thank you.
From Mr. Bones and the Boneyard Circus. Check those guys out, www.boneyardcircus.com, if you want to check out more smooth tunes. Oh, by the way, don't let that particular song fool you, because not all their songs are like that. What can I say? Some of them are pretty far out there, but that one just happens to have a very, very, very unique sound to it. Definitely check their music out. Those guys are from the Philippines, those of you that don't know. They have been on the show in the past. I would really love to have them back on. I've just logged into the Skype now, and I'm not seeing Rob online. I'm just going to try to give him a call real quick here and see if I can get a hold of him. If I can't, guys, what I'm probably going to end up doing is, and I know you're going to hate me for it, I'm going to end up having to play another commercial. And believe me, I don't want to have to play another commercial for you. I'd love to play another song for you, but guys, just give me like 2 seconds here, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and get him on the horn here. The sound you're hearing right now is the sound of me typing on my brand new eMachines keyboard, and it sounds pretty darn nice, I gotta say. And I do believe I found his number here. I really hope I can get a hold of him tonight, because I don't want it to be, I don't want to be another night where, you know, I can't get a hold of a guest. Hey, oh my gosh, guys, he just appeared online. Let's call him and see what happens. Suspense is killing me. Hello, Rob.
Hi, Steven.
Hey, Rob. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you tonight?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you.
Nice to be here. Great. Fantastic. Great to have you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, sir.
Well, I'm a by trade, I'm a meteorologist, and I've been in the meteorology business for about 20 years. So being a scientist and also being a medium, I've used my scientific knowledge to basically explain how ghosts and spirits exist and how they manifest and how they communicate.
Now, how long ago did you actually start investigating the paranormal?
Well, it wasn't probably until the last 2 or 3 years, I think. My first paranormal experience happened though when I was a teenager.
Okay.
I was about 13 years old when I actually saw my grandfather manifest in front of me, and that was about 6 months after he died.
Wow.
So that was pretty scary.
I bet.
Yeah. But I've noticed that as I've grown older, on occasion throughout my life, I've had other experiences that, of course, I explained away or tried to logically explain away. It wasn't until I lost a puppy back in 2005 that I had a tremendous amount of experiences. And you know, dogs truly are man's best friend.
No,
and,
I agree.
that dog was a he really taught me what unconditional love was. And I became very emotional, of course, when he died, and it made a huge difference in my emotional and my well-being. So he basically just opened the doors.
And that's what sort of led you into this interest in actually investigating the paranormal.
Yes, that dog has come to me about 14 times.
Mo.
Yeah, and in one instance, he actually came to me visibly, visibly and audibly. I actually saw him walking through my house and heard his nails on the floorboards. And I followed him, thinking it was my new dog, which was of the same breed. And as I followed him into a room, there was nobody there when I got in there, and there was no one way in, one way out. Then it dawned on me that my other dog, my new dog, was upstairs sleeping in the bed. I went upstairs. Sure enough, that dog was sleeping in the bed. So I knew it was my first dog that had passed away.
That's actually kind of spooky. We don't often hear about people talking about seeing their pets coming back and sort of, revisiting them, in the same way that people would say, hey, I saw my uncle who passed away, 5-6 years ago, and he's been coming through or what have you. So there must have been a very strong connection between you and the dog.
Actually, there was. I mean, although I got him as a puppy, and I only had him for about 5 months before his leash opened and he was killed by a car. When I got that dog, he had pneumonia. So, of course, the first week I had him, he was in a hospital for a week, and then I spent every night for 2 weeks sitting up all night with him. Under basically like a sheet with a vaporizer, trying to get him to clear his lungs. So yeah, you develop a really close bond with that with a dog or a person that you're helping to nurse back to health.
I mean, how does this make you feel? I mean, you're a meteorologist. You're obviously a science guy. You're very much in the way the real world works, the way the environment works, the way that stuff happens, the physics of everything. And here you are seeing an animal which is dead, and it's appearing. Does that make you stop and question the things that you've basically learned, things through your training, where you've taught that, dead is dead?
Well, that's a good question, but I was raised with a Catholic background, So that taught me that there was, or that said that there was an afterlife. Of course, some religions say that pets don't have souls and they don't go to heaven, which is, I can assure you, not true. And so I knew that there was something beyond. I did try to prove things as best I could. And I actually had witnesses in some things. The day that he died, my friends and I, several friends and I, took his body to the vet, and we were standing in the parking lot. They brought him in, and they were preparing him just for us to say goodbye. And there was a trash can right at the door that we were standing at outside, and all of a sudden the lid just flew up. And I sensed it was him. I got a message from him in my head that says, "I'm okay." And it sounds kind of strange, but animals can communicate once they get on the other side. In fact, I was at a medium session, and about 2 years ago, I was doing a book signing, and a dog came to me, a Chihuahua. He told me his name was Chico. He pointed to the woman that he belonged to, so I stopped her as she was coming out of the room, and I said, "Excuse me, do you know a dog named Chico?" And she said, "Yes, that's my grandmother's dog, and that dog just passed away this year." I said, "Well, Chico's here with me, and he's telling me that he knows you, and that you have a black dog, medium-sized black dog, and he's following that black dog." I said, "Do you have a black dog?" And she said, "Yes, I have a black lab, and he's been acting kind of strange lately." I said, "Well, there you go."
Wow.
So dogs, cats, and horses, I found, can actually communicate.
So it doesn't really matter that, you know, a lot of people think when it comes to mediumship and psychic abilities that you're either on one wavelength or the other. I know that I've seen, I can't remember what it was, but there were these people that were pretty much, they assured me, were just quote-unquote pet psychics, where that was pretty much the area that they were in. And I've seen people that claim that their psychic abilities are pretty much linked to humans. But essentially what you're telling me is that it really can kind of go both ways.
Absolutely, because basically what happens when a living organism passes away, we have to look at the laws of conservation of energy. That law states that any energy cannot be destroyed. It can only be transformed. And I want you to think about our brain waves for a moment. When scientists measure our brain waves, they're basically measuring electrical impulses in the brain. That energy, coupled with the energy of our soul, our personality, has to go somewhere after we die. Even though our physical body is dead, we have to think about what happens to that energy. And based on that law, it has to go somewhere. My theory is that that energy becomes part of the energy of the universe. I mean, scientifically, the universe is constructed of matter and dark matter. Being a scientist, I know we've got a lot of satellites that are trying to actually find dark matter and identify it. But there's a lot of energy out there in the cosmos, whether they be radio waves, gamma rays. Just think about that. So we basically become part of that energy.
And do you feel that there's something special about you that makes you sort of tuned into this? I mean, because, you know, personally, I always call myself the least sensitive and psychic person on the planet. I could have Casper right behind me tapping me on the shoulder, and I'd be totally oblivious to it. Is this something that you discovered very early on? Is this something that you had to try to tune into or develop, or is it just something that's always been there for you?
That's a very good question. As I said, when I was a teenager, I sensed my grandfather. After that, it kind of faded out because I basically got caught up in the in the grind of life and trying to find out who I was, picking a career, going to school. All of these things become distractions. They really help you block out any signals. The other thing too is that we hear that as children often see spirits. As they grow older though, they lose the ability to do that. The reason for that is that we develop a logical mind. We're taught to think logically. for mediums, the trick is tuning in to your emotions. A lot of mediums are very emotional. I can be very logical, but on the other hand, I can also be very emotional. And spirits come to people that are very emotional. You're like an emotional tuning fork, and spirits know they can get through to you.
So in other words, if something is actually trying to contact you, it's going to try it pretty much regardless of whether you're tuned into it or not. It's just a matter of you being on sort of the same wavelength. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, spirits can actually—they actually know when you can receive messages.
Oh, because like I said, I mean, I consider myself to be the most. I call it detuning, and I've brought it up on the show in the past. It's the thing that I think we all do at a very early age. We tell ourselves, "I'm just seeing things. I'm just hearing things. It's just my imagination. I'm just tired." And we basically throw it out of our mind, and then that's it. And then when things start to happen, we don't notice it until we're finally alone again, and then we sit there and go, what was that? But again, I kind of consider myself to be the least of those individuals, the most tuned out, if you will. If it doesn't happen on the equipment, I'm relatively oblivious to it.
But, well, it's just that you're a logical thinker, like most people are. It's all about actually believing what you hear, and trying to pay attention to the things that come to you. For instance, in the two books that I've written, I write that there is no such thing as a coincidence, and that is because if something happens to you, it's because somebody is guiding it to happen. Somebody's making you do something. Somebody's making you choose something. One example I can give, going back to the example of my puppy, is that when I was on vacation in Puerto Rico, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, I had a choice of going down one street or the other. And I wasn't even thinking about my puppy because he's been gone for a long time. He's been gone for 7 years. I felt like I had to go down one street. So I started going down one street with my partner, and all of a sudden, we run into this guy, this professional dog walker, who had 12 dogs with him, and one of them was a Weimaraner, which is the breed of my dog that had passed. All of a sudden, I got a message from him that said, this is the anniversary date. I'm still with you. And I suddenly remembered that it was February 22nd. It was the day that he passed away in 2005.
Wow.
So you just have to pay attention to the messages.
And again, me being totally not receptive to any of it, I don't know that I've ever personally received any messages. People have described to me on the show in the past how these things come through in their head, and I try to imagine it. To me, it sounds very, very strange and very mysterious. I guess it's one of those things you'd either have to experience it or you don't. So I guess it's. I guess it'd be like someone trying to explain quantum physics to me, and me just staring at them, going "aha," and you know, just totally, completely over my head.
Well, let me ask you this: do you ever think of somebody, and then a song comes on the radio that reminds you of them?
Only when I've got the '80s station on.
Okay. Well, I hear you right there.
It's about the only time that's ever happened. But you're saying that things like that really aren't a coincidence.
No, they're not a coincidence.
There's actually some sort of a correlation between those two events, that there is a bridge connecting those two things.
Absolutely.
That's going to keep me up tonight. Oh, that's interesting that you say that. There are some people that say that everything in life is completely, completely random, and that, you know, you say, hey, this is going to happen or it's not, and you say, oh, a funny thing happened to me today, and you go, oh, that's interesting. What are the odds of that? But you're saying that's really not the case, that there is some sort of a direct causality between those things.
Absolutely.
Well, that's very interesting. That's very interesting. Again, going to keep me up tonight thinking about that.
Well, I'll give you another prime example. This one happened to my own mother, who is afraid to fly. And my dad passed away several years ago. And I was trying to convince my mother that her husband, my dad, was right there with him, her. And you know, she actually has the ability, but she's always been afraid to use it, so she's never used it. So when we were at the airport, we were standing in line, she saw on the floor a dime. And I often tell people that finding change is one of the easiest signs that a spirit can give you, that they're around. When my partner's grandmother died, he found pennies and dimes and nickels for a year, every single day after she died. She wanted to let him know that she's still there. Anyway, my mother found a dime. She couldn't pick it up because, of course, she was in the security line. She comes through. She goes in the restroom. She comes out with her mouth open and says, there was a dime on the sink. And she said, I know that's from your father. She looked at the year of the dime, and it was the year that he died.
Wow.
There's no coincidences.
It's interesting that you say that, because for about a year after my grandfather died, my mother kept telling me of the same thing, except there's always nickels. Mm-hmm. And she just kept finding nickels around her house and in her car, even when she wasn't carrying nickels with her. And she'd always be picking them up and saying, you know, I found another nickel today. I'm like, come on, Mom. What's the correlation here? What's the connection? She goes, well, I don't know. I think it has something to do with your grandfather. I said, is that all you're finding? She goes, yeah, it's always nickels. And I keep finding them everywhere. I'm like, okay, did you break a nickel roll somewhere? I don't know. So it's interesting that you're saying that, because I'm like, my mother was talking about the same thing for like a year after my grandfather died, that happened like every single day, finding these nickels, and then it eventually did stop. But interesting that you're bringing that up.
Well, it's like I said, it's just one of the most common ways that spirits can actually let us know that they're on the other side, and they're also with us too, whenever they want to be.
Now, what about the people that say that this is all just a bunch of baloney? That your dead is dead. Nobody can talk to the dead. The communication ends. There is no such thing as a life after death. There is no heaven. There is no hell. These things don't exist. There's nothing supernatural in the universe. We live, we die, and that's it. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? These individuals are saying this.
Well, I have a couple of thoughts on that, and one is, you'll figure out that you're wrong when you're dead. Two is, go visit a house that's haunted. And number three is that you need to just be open to it if you want to get messages.
So the more,
that's pretty much it.
So the more closed off, the less likely. Like we talked before about people just, you know, you're tuned in or you're tuned out.
Absolutely. It's kind of like people who subscribe to one religion and they think that there are no other religions. They tune everything else out. Well, that's just not, it's just not true. I mean, there's so much more than our little tiny scope of view that's out there.
Let's talk about paranormal investigations for a minute. And we'll come back to the, you know, the medium stuff in just a little bit. Okay. Now, everybody's seen the television shows because they're every freaking where you look, and I've interviewed a lot of teams in the past, and some of them very much have modeled themselves after what they've seen on TV shows. Some have gone way to the other side of the spectrum with the way that they investigate. Some have kind of gone and done their own thing, and they've developed a whole new world of theories and methodology and ideas about it. When you're investigating the paranormal, I mean, what are the tools we're using here? What are we doing? How is what you do the same or different than what we're seeing right now in the media?
I think the difference is that I actually belong to a ghost tracking group, Inspired Ghost Tracking. The difference is that this group believes in using mediums when they go in. A lot of the groups that I see on television never have a medium. Or they just have a medium. So it's either one or the other. It's really important to have a medium, but it's also important to have scientific equipment, because if a medium senses something is in the room, you need to be able to see if there are physical ways to identify that, whether an electromagnetic field, which is basically what a ghost or a spirit is, or a temperature change, and ghosts or spirits manifest by basically slowing down the motion of the atoms in the atmosphere. And what that does is it takes the heat out of the atmosphere and it makes it cold. That's why you get a cold spot. That's the physical explanation for it. So it's important to have both a medium and that scientific equipment.
Okay, so I take it that means that you yourself like to use the EMF meters, something to measure temperature, whether it's a non-contact infrared thermometer or something similar to that. Are there any pieces of equipment that you kind of stay away from? Because it seems every few weeks, all the TV shows, you know, not to name drop any of them, you know, Ghost Hunters, Ghost right. Adventures, whatever, they will always bring out some new piece of equipment. And the next thing you know, everybody wants to drop, you know, hundreds of dollars on these pieces of equipment, say, oh, well, they use it on TV. We got to have it for our team. Anything that out there that you just say, save your money, don't buy it?
Well, you know, actually, I personally don't use the equipment. I let the techs do it because I have to actually, as a medium and or medium, a developing medium, or medium rare, as I like to call it. I don't want to, if I focus on equipment, I'm actually being distracted about any messages that I get.
Okay.
So I let the techs do it. But, I really haven't seen any equipment that I wouldn't use or wouldn't encourage them to use. Recently, the team was exposed to a ghost box.
Okay.
I'm still, you know, I've heard good and bad about that, but we had a group come in and explain how it worked and demonstrate some recordings from it, and it seemed like it worked.
I was invited on an investigation about, I want to say, a month ago, and someone had brought one of those, and I found it interesting. It was made a lot of noise, but I personally, I guess I was looking for more of a correlation, you know, with what they were picking up and what I was hearing. I wasn't really hearing the same things that they said that they were hearing, but I mean. I guess I was just, you know, kind of on the outside looking in. I was just there to kind of observe and assist. But I guess I'm not, personally, I'm not opposed to using them. I'm always somebody that likes to implement a lot of scientific controls whenever I can. So that and the thing just started to give me a headache. So I was just like, oh, can somebody turn that thing off? Just thup, 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 thup. I'm like, oh, my God, my head.
It does do that after a while.
My flipping head hurts so bad. Okay, so you're more of the guy that wants to stay in the medium aspect. You have an entire tech group that basically handles all the equipment, and they're looking for the correlation between what you're sensing, what you're receiving, and the readings on the equipment and the data that they're getting.
Yes.
So in other words, very much a scientific end going in there. You're not just going to say, hey guys, this is what I'm hearing, and that's all there is to it. You're looking right. for the correlation on their end to say, hey, temperature fluctuation, hey, gigantic EMF spike on the Gauss meter here.
Definitely looking for the proof.
And I think that's very cool. I've talked to some people from the UK, and it seems that in the UK, the medium stuff is very much still in, and it always has been in. And they tend to be, that's about it. You know, a medium might go in there, maybe they have an EMF meter, but that's pretty much just what they're feeling, what they say is pretty much it as far as the paranormal research end of it goes. But no, I think that's very cool that you have both sides of it happening, because usually people will do one or they'll do the other. They don't usually mix the two.
Yeah, and you really need that balance. I mean, you need the proof on both sides. And honestly, when I'm watching some of those TV programs, I get so frustrated that they don't have a medium in there. Because it's like they're only getting half the information. And the other thing too about not having a medium when they go on investigations is the thing we hear most on investigations is help me. And ghost hunters with the scientific equipment that don't know how to cross a ghost over can't help them. So basically they're just looking at them. Just trying to prove that they're there. But one important thing that I learned from an author named Lewis Charles, who wrote a great book called Helping Ghosts, is that we need to remember that the humanity of ghosts. Ghosts used to be people or are animals, and ghosts are basically trapped on Earth, and they need to transition, they need to move into the light. So that's why we hear "help me" all the time. But that seems to be forgotten on a lot of the ghost shows on TV.
I would agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. It does seem that, and I don't know if it's just the mentality of the bandwagon of jumping on the paranormal fad that started back in like 2004 when Ghost Hunters launched, where everyone thought this is going to be really cool to have a ghost team, and this is going to be really great and fun, and we're going to go out and we're going to record stuff, we're going to get videos, we're going to get audio. And then at the end of the day, they go home and they say, well, on to the next case. Well, wait a second. That's it? You're done? You went there one time, you got a couple of pieces of audio, you told the family about it, and that's it? You're done?
Exactly.
I agree with you there. That always kind of troubled me, because they're asking, we want to help. How can we help you? And then what do they do after that? Nothing. They leave.
And they never come back.
No, they don't. They don't.
It's a serious problem.
But how would exactly you help something move on if it is trapped here, if there's some sort of a limbo that it's in? How exactly would you help it move on? You know, I know it's kind of a broad question, but...
And it's a good question. I try to address that in my new book, Lessons Learned from Talking to the Dead, because I actually wound up crossing over a ghost in a ladies' room, of all places. The important thing to do is first communicate with the entity and tell the entity that you know they're trapped on Earth, that they need to look for a light. A lot of times you'll find light, the white light, wherever people have just recently died. You'll direct them to a hospital, direct them to a funeral home, even to a cemetery where people are being buried at that time. Somewhere where people are passing, because when the light opens, anybody can go into it if they're ready for it. They just need to know where it is. Otherwise, you can really focus and picture a white light. You really have to concentrate and picture a white light in the corner of your room, and try and open that portal yourself. It takes a lot of confidence to do it. I mean, the first time I tried it, I had no idea what I was doing. But eventually it did work. And what was weird about crossing over this ghost in the ladies' room that I wrote about is that there was another medium standing beside me, and there were three other people on the ghost team. And after myself and the other medium sensed this woman went through the portal, suddenly, even though the air conditioning was on in the bathroom, we felt a wave of warm air hit us at the same time, and we looked at each other, and the people behind us looked at each other, and they said, "Did you feel that?" And we all felt this wave of warm air. It was really weird.
Wow. So there really was actually a change in the environment. There, what you were talking about before, the atoms slowing down, causing that coldness, that had ceased, and then you get the temperature trying to balance itself back out, and everything feels like it's getting warm again.
Yes.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, so there was a physical change in the temperature, and it wasn't just me that felt it. It was five people in the room.
Everybody there had felt it. And the spirit that was trapped there, do you know how long this woman had been trapped?
Well, she didn't die in the bathroom. She actually, we figured out that she came with somebody that was in attendance of the meeting. She died in the hospital. One of the people that came to the meeting had gone to see her daughter-in-law, who was in the hospital. She followed the woman, knowing that the woman understood ghosts and what they were. I guess she sensed that. So she came in, and we were able to figure out that she actually died giving birth in the hospital. And she stayed behind looking for her baby. But her baby had crossed over. We were actually able to see the baby in the light and actually able to open the light and convince her to go in there and that the baby's on the other side. So it was all bizarre, but...
It's actually very kind of sad. That's actually very sad.
It is very sad. And that's actually just one of the reasons why people decide to stay behind. They stay behind thinking that they can find somebody that they lost or help somebody or unfinished business, guilt, needing forgiveness. One of my own family members, an aunt of mine who passed away, was not a very nice person to my mother. She was nice to other people, but for some reason, you know, sisterly rivalry. And my mother wouldn't forgive her after she passed. It took me 20 years to convince my mother to forgive her. And then she came to me again and thanked me. And she let me know, I actually was playing a song on a CD in my car, and I asked her to give me a sign. And suddenly the CD skipped. And it was a song that she used to play. And then when I said, okay, thanks. And I said, this is really you. Make that skip again now. Sure enough, it skipped again. And then it didn't skip again the rest of the CD.
Wow.
So there's no such thing as a coincidence.
What are your thoughts on evil spirits, this dark energy that people talk about?
Well, when you talk about dark energy, I think about space. But I think the dark energy, for the most part, the dark figures, they're not always somebody's mother-in-law. But that's what I like to tell people, is that any dark entity is a mother-in-law. I think that they're earthbound ghosts for the most part. I do think that there are some that are not human, but I haven't run into any of them, and nor do I care to.
I can't blame you there. I mean, I've personally never encountered anything that I felt was demonic, evil, or anything that these people have described to me. And I mean, I've been on over 50 investigations, and I've never really had anything that I felt, you know, was evil or malicious. But there do seem to be a lot of people that will tell you that there are these dark things all over, all around us, all the time. They're always trying to sway us to do something awful. Some people say it's just evil energy. Some people say it's demonic and what have you. Some people think that every shadow they see is some sort of a devil or whatever. I wanted to get your thoughts on it, because there seems to be such a really broad thought about what this stuff is.
Well, again, I think that line of thinking comes from people who strictly follow religious texts. And, you know, religion is a good guideline to establish faith, but there comes a time where you have to grow from it. You have to develop and basically advance in your knowledge of what's out there. I think the dark entities may be people that were nasty in life. Because when we die, we maintain our personalities. And that shows every time mediums give a reading. That's how we're able to identify people connected to living people here. Their personalities come through. Same thing with people who are nasty in life. They're still earthbound ghosts, many of them. And when you see an earthbound ghost, most of them are dark. Most of them are dark shadows. Have you ever seen an earthbound ghost, like an image in a video camera, like a dark shadow?
I have. It really wasn't dark. It actually had more of a white sort of form to it. It might have just been because it was shot in night vision, but I mean, it didn't really match anything else that was in the shot. It did look very strange. It was actually appeared to be standing behind one of our investigators and then moved out of frame. So I don't really know 100% what it was. I tell people it's unexplainable, and I kind of leave it at that. I don't want to say one way or another what exactly it was, because I don't know. But I have seen other people send me video clips and photographs of things that do appear to be like dark shadows and shapes. And they're usually very odd looking, and they usually are very quick. You know, in one picture or in a video, it's one or two frames. But you know, I think I know what you're talking about.
Well, I think that the earthbound ghosts are basically negative energy. Negative energy appears darker in form. Sometimes you can get the ectoplasm too, which is the opposite, which is white. But for the most part, they're negative energy. Spirits, on the other hand, the spirits that have crossed over into the light are positive energy. And I make a point in explaining how they power up, basically using different kinds of energy, physical energies, but they also use emotional energy. And ghosts rely on negative energy to power up. They rely on fear, anxiety, depression, anger, sadness, any negative emotion. Spirits, on the other hand, usually come through when there's a lot of love and compassion, positive emotions. So my experience with spirits is that they usually come through, and you can see them. They never come through as dark entities. Ghosts, however, do come through as dark entities.
So if somebody was in, let's say, some haunted location, let's say haunted location X, just for the heck of it, and this place has a history of very spooky things happening, stuff moving, shadows, what have you, and somebody goes in there and they're basically emitting a lot of fear and anxiety when they're in there, and you're saying essentially they can feed off of this.
Absolutely. You're giving them the power to manifest.
Okay, so does this make it stronger? Does this make the activity pick up, for example? Like, let's say if all they're getting at that point is just, you know, the occasional shadow or strange noise. If somebody goes in there and there's this fear or even some hostility being emitted from these people, let's say a whole group of people go in like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, is it possible that that's going to actually make the situation worse?
Yes. You're basically plugging them into an outlet and saying, here's some juice. Do what you want to do.
Interesting.
It's the same thing with spirits. Calling, if you're in a mediumship event, and everybody goes to a mediumship event because they lost a loved one and they want to hear from them. So the whole audience, if there's an audience, is filled with love and compassion and just good positive emotions. And that's why mediums are so successful in getting a lot of people come in at the same time. It's almost like people line up. Like spirits line up because there's so much love in the room. It's given them so much energy to manifest.
And that's why so many would come through at, say, one of those mediumship things when you have the different people, you know, saying this person's coming through, this person over here is coming through. Basically, they've created a really long queue for the spirits and everybody's coming through because there is such an abundance of love and emotion there from everybody.
Yes. There's also physical energy, though, that they use. They draw, and both of them can draw on these physical energies: water, heat, light, all of those physical energies.
So basically, the entire world around us is something that they're basically plugged into. Whether you have an actual physical body or you've died, you're outside the physical body, you're still tapped into all those energy sources and you can still pull from it. Much the same way we have to eat food, drink water, what have you. We go through our life cycle. No matter what, no point in time do you ever really unplug. You're just always kind of in that loop.
That's right. Yeah.
So basically, going back to that scientific rule about you can't really create or destroy anything, things are just going to change state. Energy is energy. It's just, it's there. It's just, it becomes something else, but it's still there. It doesn't really vanish.
That's right. And because you've been on 50 investigations, think about when you go into a town that has a river running through it or running by it, a lot more than just one building seems to have an entity. Is that been your experience?
I think there's probably a lot to that because, you know, I'm in Wisconsin. You know, we're right by the Great Lakes. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin is just full of haunted places. You know, it seems like there's no end to it. It seems like every major building or street in every town has something happening because there's always such a close proximity to all these bodies of water. They're everywhere. So, I mean, I've always thought that maybe there was something to it. I certainly get what you're saying because thinking about it now, I'm like, oh, Great Lakes area, you know, and that's how my team got its name. People always telling, hey, Wisconsin, such a spooky place to live. Hey, check it out. There probably is something to it. I agree with you there.
Well, scientifically too, I want you to think about this. When people are in a pool and there's a thunderstorm outside, mm-hmm. they tell you to get out of the pool because water can conduct electricity.
Right.
That's energy. So
that's true. That's very true.
As a medium rare, I get a lot of messages actually when I'm in the shower. But that water provides that energy for those spirits to come through. And a couple of times, a friend of mine from Florida lost her mother years ago. I never met her, but her mother has come through to me twice in the shower. Her elderly mother has come through to me twice in the shower. And you have to think that it's not like it is in, you know, person to person. But her mother has given me messages that I wound up calling her. One time her mother forced me to call her that same night. And I said, no, it's too late, I'll call her tomorrow. And she said, no, you'll call her now. And, you know, I'm like, okay. I'm talking to myself in the bathroom. And I come out and my partner goes, like, who are you talking to? I said, I have to call my friend Kathy. And it turns out that her mother gave her a warning, gave me a warning for her that she needed to fix this lawnmower that she uses on occasion in her job. She works at a golf course. And when I talked to her, she said, I was riding it today and it made a funny noise. And I thought, I don't need to take it in. And I said, well, your mother's telling me to tell you to take it in. So she called me the next day and she said, the blade was going to fall off if I didn't take it in today.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That could have been really
so water
horrible.
Energy, if you're in the shower, just, you know, relax and see what you get.
I usually just hear the phone ringing. I turn the water off. Is that the phone?
See, that's somebody in tune with you.
I should just call back when I'm done with my shower. They really should just learn not to call when I'm in the shower. All right, now you've got a blog. You're a blogger.
I do.
Is it pretty much like what we've been talking about right now? The mediumship, the paranormal stuff, is it one of them all encompassing kind of blogs?
It's actually a blog about my experiences or different topics that people ask me about. I did a couple on energy, different investigations I've been on. Pets. I have a lot of connections with pets. I mean, I have three dogs right now, and I seem to get a lot of dogs coming to me. dogs and people, so the blog is pretty all encompassing. And I welcome people's comments and emails. In the back of my book, I list the blog and an email so people can send me questions. It's also on Facebook and Twitter, so. You know, I don't do this for a living. I'm a scientist for a living, but I've met a lot of people with some level of medium ability out there, and they don't know what to do with it. So I'm going to just help them as much as I can.
That's pretty cool. Where can people get your books? Because you've got a couple.
They're on Amazon.com. Some of them are in Barnes & Noble, but Amazon.com has both of them.
Okay. And how about your blog address? People can read your blog.
The blog address is ghostsandspiritsinsights.blogspot.com. com.
And people can message you there too?
Yep, they can leave messages, yeah.
All right, that's pretty cool. And you're on Facebook as well, because, I mean, I caught you on Facebook.
You did. All right. You caught.
just for the beautiful listening audience at home, why don't you tell them how they can get in touch with you on Facebook?
It's basically the same. It's Facebook. It's Ghosts and Spirits Insights on Facebook.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, if they look up my name, they won't get me. But if they go there, they'll get me.
Okay. So, I mean... Go ahead, Rob.
The reason I wrote the second book, by the way, is it's called Lessons Learned from Talking to the Dead, is because I keep getting all these different messages from people who passed about how we need to live our life better on Earth so that we don't get trapped on Earth as a ghost, so that we can actually cross into the light. And it's all about treating each other well and not hating, not discriminating, not being mean to people. Treat other people like you want to treat yourself. I mean, that's a quick 2-second synopsis, but everybody is equal. We can't think of anybody as a lesser person.
No, I agree with that. I mean, we all live, we all go through the motions of our life, and sooner or later, it's horrible to think about, but yeah, we're all gonna die. And from, you know, what you're telling me and from what my experiences have been, death really isn't the end. It's not final. There's a whole world beyond that.
And people do come back. We come back. You know, there's a lot of past life regression therapy going on, and I know a number of people who have memories of past lives. For instance, if anybody listening is really drawn to a subject that they don't understand why they're drawn to it, I'm drawn to the Old West, so I really feel like I may have existed back then. Then you may have existed at another time. And, you know, we keep coming back until we achieve perfection. I joke while I'm on the road sometimes, if somebody cuts me off, that person's coming back.
So basically what you're talking about right there is the idea of reincarnation, which is very much in Buddhism and Hinduism. They say that, you know, you're born again and again, and you've got the different realms. You've got the animal realm, below that you've got the insect realm, you've got the hungry ghost realm, you've got the hell realm, and then way at the top you've got basically heaven, you've got nirvana, and you've got no more rebirths after that. That's the ultimate goal.
You know the whole range of them.
Yeah, I do.
And it used to be in the Bible. Reincarnation used to be in the Bible before Constantine threw it out.
Yeah, it's cool that you bring that up, because I know a lot of people that say, you know, hey, you know, dead, you go to heaven, you go to hell, that's it. You know, some say, hey, you're not going to go to hell, you're forgiven, you're just going to go to heaven. Express ticket, you know, there you go. It's really interesting that you bring that up, and I'm glad you actually brought that up.
Well, you know, my ideas of heaven and hell have truly changed a lot. My idea of hell is being an earthbound ghost, because you're trapped. You're separated from your family who has crossed over into the light. Think of being a ghost as being trapped as a human being in an isolation jail cell. You can't talk to anybody outside. The only people you can talk to are your jailers, basically the people that wander the earth. But you can't communicate with the people on the through the light. My idea of heaven are people that cross into the light. They are basically one energy with the universe.
That's a very interesting way of saying that.
That's what I've come to understand. And, you know, as a scientist, it's easier for me to understand that than some place with flowers and sun and all that. You know,
fluffy clouds. The picture. Yeah, I agree with you 100% there, Rob. I agree with you. I would think that would be a really lonely kind of dark place, you know, wandering around, and you're stuck.
That's why they're always asking for help.
Can you believe we're out of time? Unbelievable. That went way too quick, man. That went way too quick. Big, huge thank you, sir, for being on the show. This has been very, very insightful. I really do appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you, Stephen. I appreciate it.
I wish we could do another hour because this is getting really freaking good, and we could do a whole another hour on this. And I definitely love to have you back on the show. Talk to you more about this.
I'd love to come back. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Rob.
All right. Have a nice evening.
Take care, sir. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Why do the shows go so darn quick? Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. The interviews go so well, and then the sad part is that we eventually have to just stop the interview because we only get an hour. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Everyone, take care. Be safe. Stay scared. Have a good night. You know what? Tune in next week because we shall be back. Take care, everybody.